Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
As well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. I'm looking at the local newspaper. You know what's interesting? The local newspapers, for the most part, you know what they make reference to? The mainstream media. I mean, you can't make this up. So while they're poisoning the minds of the people in the cities, guess where that goes to? Because the people in the country don't know the difference, right? Again, people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. But as I'm looking at this, they're sending these out for free today. Do you guys remember not too long ago all the national mainstream outlets concerning newspapers across the United States went out of business? Isn't it interesting? All of a sudden they're back in play. But guess what's happening? Their subscribers are falling off majorly. Why? Because people are sick and tired of the steak that they eat with a dot of poison in it. And they're not willing to take a chance anymore. But this is the point that I want to make, friends. When you look at the paper, this is our local paper, it says, safety support are keys to successful schools. Right? Safety. Okay? Then I turn the page and it says, having a passion for education. All these teachers that have been raised up in communist colleges with a big smile on their face talking about a passion for education. It's not education, friends. It's indoctrination. Then to the right in this newspaper, it says students continue to thrive. Yes, they are thriving. They're hungry for the truth and they know that they're being lied to. So I turn that page and then it brings us over to a bunch of women, all smiling with big happy smiles on their face, and they're called educators. Friends, let me remind you, after all the high schools and colleges I've done up to this point, they are not educators, they are indoctrinators. Okay? But again, of course, they'll tell you that they're just doing their job when they're not doing their job. This one says, educators bring experiences and enthusiasm to new roles. New roles. When the Bible says something about giving yourself over to change, yep, we're not supposed to do that. When I change the page and turn it over, has another picture of a big smiling superintendent. Engaging students is the core goal. Engaging them into what? I mean, we have International Baccalaureate. We have that of No Child Left Unindoctrinated. We have Common Core. I mean, folks, it just doesn't get any worse than what you think it can. Believe me, there's no more road to kick the can down when it comes to the indoctrinational schemes that are being thrown down on your kids. And guess what? The young people in the country know that they're being lied to. So as I turn over to the next page, it shows another smiling teacher, an educator, as she calls herself. This is how deceived these people are. Strong schools build strong communities. Wow. Remember having a conversation with a lawman, and I asked him how was he satisfied or dissatisfied with the churches in America? And it's interesting. He said, oh, no, they're just great. They're just great. This is local, too. He said, they're just great. Just fantastic. I said, really, they're fantastic, the churches are. Because the churches are called to be the moral compass of society. When that goes, everything else goes. I said, are they teaching and indoctrinating homosexuality, which is against the law in the United States? All of a sudden, there's this blank look on his face. Are they teaching evolution that used to be illegal all the way up until 1968? Oh, yeah. This is what they're doing. And this is how strong the church is? This is the church that you're happy with in America? You have this going on in public schools because the church isn't doing its job. They're no longer called the light of the world. They have now become a reproach in this country. Why? Because they've deceived themselves into believing, too, friends, that they're doing a fantastic job. But remember, it happens secondarily in the education system because the church has failed. This is the church's responsibility. And I'm not here just pointing the finger at the church. I'm taking responsibility for their shortcomings. Believe me, I'm doing my best to right the wrong. Isaiah 58:12. And some may say, well, Bradley, you know, that's just too bad for those kids. But wait a second. What one generation tolerates, the next will embrace. Okay, so I just highlighted that. We've been told by that of Abraham Lincoln, it's accredited to him anyways, that the philosophy taught in the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy taught in the government in the next. Well, isn't it interesting? Because what I'd like to do is I'd like to approach those that think it's too bad for the kids, because the fact of the matter is, wisdom is justified by our children. The children are the way that they are because somebody trained them up to be the way that they are. Who's that? The generation that I'm speaking to now on the radio. So you think you're smart. Well, let me ask you something. Why are we being attacked by our government on so many fronts? Everybody today is complaining about the IRS. For all of you smart people listening to me today, can you show me in the Constitution where the IRS is a constitutional agency? I'm not a tax protester, but I'm just asking the question. And by the way, we're going to have nobody better qualified than to talk about the IRS than Dan Pilla. He'll be with us tomorrow to tell you exactly what's going on the inside. This is an attack on small businesses to put an end to you. This is what it's all about, okay? But isn't it interesting to all of you smart people, where in the Constitution is the IRS a constitutional agency? It's not, okay? That's why your kids are now eating your fallout. And I'm talking about the fact that they are having to deal with what you have failed to deal with. Because it's not constitutional. I want to show you what's happening in America today, and I want you to see it for yourself as to what's going on concerning the 87,000 new IRS agents that they're talking about putting out there to basically assail the American people. And don't doubt what I'm saying to you, friends, because that's exactly what it's about. These are the new IRS agents. They're not qualified. First and foremost, lay the axe to the root of the tree. It's not constitutional, but these are picked up as the unqualified. Of course, they swear to uphold the Constitution, that they're being employed to tear down in the process. They're being armed against the American people. And you can see on social media platforms right now, sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page, and or beforeitsnews.com, top left side of the page, where they're being armed against the American people. Might I remind you, the same governments that's arming them are trying to disarm you. There's no constitutional authority for that neither. And instead of the American people dealing with corruption in government, what do? They allow them to keep pushing the agenda forward. Guess what? It's all aimed at you, Americans. It's all aimed at the American people. These are IRS agents practicing with guns drawn, going through protocol to assail the very people that the American government's supposed to serve. Okay? This is what you get. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Folks, you got more of this coming your way. Do you remember when I said it's going to come seven times harder in Leviticus 26 in judgment? Well, here you are. Here you are. We're going to come right back. Are Christians supposed to fight? Well, did your forefathers? We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com.
This is Jeff Osborne. Welcome to my new series, God's Touch, airing on beforeitsnews.com. These short pre-recorded segments address real physical issues for which so many people suffer. Choose those that address your needs and receive prayer just for you. God bless you.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth to power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children, our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at BrighteonRadio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Bradley Dean here at the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, here to introduce you to our new friends at Herbonomic. Have you been searching for all natural health products you can depend upon? Herbonomic's special menu has all natural health products that you can trust. Our friends at Herbonomic have done their research and to ensure that they only source the highest quality products that they serve to their customer base. Visit us at Herbonomic.com.
It's a jungle out there, disorder and confusion everywhere. No one seems to care. Well, I do. Hey, who's in charge here? Yeah, it's a jungle out there, and you need Wisconsin Christian News, a Christian newspaper that is not just filled with poetry and recipes. We print the truth, and we're not afraid to do it. If you're sick of the nonsense, subscribe today. You need this. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
My name is Stephen Huer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
By the way, if you want to check out our schedule, please do. We're pretty much caught up as to where we're at right now. Looks like we're going back again to Michigan. That will be in October. We're looking at South Dakota and other states as well in the process. That will be coming up in October. This month, starting August 25th through September 5th, we will be at the Minnesota State Fair. We will be at the east end of the grandstand, the second row in. You cannot miss us. Don't tell us you couldn't find us. We're right in front of your face. It's kind of like the guy that has his glasses hanging on the tip of his nose, and he's looking around and asks his wife, "Honey, where are my glasses?" And his wife looks at him and says, "They're hanging on your nose." That's exactly how you'll find us. We'll be hanging right on your nose. The east end of the Minnesota State Fair at the grandstand, the east end or the second row end. We're going to be there from the August 25th, starting next Thursday, to September 5th. That's 12 days in a row, 12 hours a day, and that's where we're going to hold up before we start booking more. But if you want to book us, now is the time to start booking us again, friends, because when it comes real quick. 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747. Wanted to let you know that if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. We follow the Christ here. Follow us as we follow Christ and Him alone. He is King. He is our example, and He is the one that's going to be glorified in the process of doing so. Matthew 4:19, again, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Put 1 Corinthians 11:1 before Matthew 4:19, and you will understand what it's all about. It's about the people, friends. It's about not us, but it's about them. Okay, we're ambassadors sent by God in the power of the Holy Ghost to be witnesses of the resurrection for His glory and reaching out and seeking and saving that which is lost. Luke 19:10. Cool? All right. So with all of that said, I just want to get right to it. I want to catch up a little bit from yesterday, and then I want to get to, are Christians supposed to fight? This is a simple question. Well, let me ask you, did your forefathers fight? Of course they did. We'll get to that in a moment. Yesterday we were talking about, are you hated? I want you to listen to this carefully. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Was Christ hated? How is it that we have taken the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and we've made it out to be what it is today? Like, for example, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I can't find that in Scripture. I do say that we're supposed to deny ourselves, take up our cross, understand the power of God into salvation. Through many trials and tribulations do we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Straight and narrow and difficult is the way. I'm thinking of Acts 14:22 and Matthew 7. I could go on and on and on. I'm crucified to the world. The world's crucified to me. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Christ. Those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its lusts and its affections. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay, so it's not about us, it's about Him. Go to Galatians 2:20 as well. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in by the faith of the Son of God. Let me just say this. When Jesus appeared to Israel, he did not plead with them to open their hearts and ask him in. This is what you're hearing all day long. Oh, just open up your hearts and let Jesus come in. That's not the gospel, friends. And if you're bringing it over to Revelation, put it into context. What did he say before that? As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. And then he starts talking about the knocking on the heart. But listen, when Jesus appeared to Israel, he did not plead with them to open their hearts and to ask him in, nor did he direct them to repeat a certain prayer. It's not scriptural, friends. And if most people would take the time to read the Bible, they would know already as to what I'm telling them is true. Instead, he commanded them to turn from their sin and believe the gospel. Let me say it again. When Jesus appeared to Israel, he did not plead with them to open their hearts and ask him in, nor did he direct them to repeat a certain prayer. When you hear that, friends, stand up and walk out. No matter how sincere they are, because folks, the bottom line is that they're supposed to have the law of the truth in their mouth, Malachi 2:6, and if they don't have it, they haven't taken the time to study and know the word, 2 Timothy 2:15. And you see it all day long, or altar calls, completely unscriptural, completely. Folks, that's there so the church overseer, if you want to call him that, so he can gloat in front of everybody, so he can tell how many people he got saved, right? No. I always say, listen, this is between you and him. Go into your closet the way that the Bible tells us to, and you go to him and let him answer you concerning your salvation. And let him rot it on his time and in his way, not man-made garbage. And garbage it is, friends, because, again, it's unscriptural. Okay? When Jesus appeared to Israel, he did not plead with them to open their hearts and ask him in, nor did he direct them to repeat a certain prayer. Instead, he commanded religious people and the Herodians, along with the scribes and others, he commanded them to turn from their sin and believe the gospel. That's also found in Mark 1:15, also in Matthew 3:2. Read it, folks. Cross-check me. If you want to call in, you can. 1-866-582-9933. Why was Christ hated? Well, when you look at John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? Now listen, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Now listen carefully. And the life was the light of men. Okay? And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. They didn't comprehend it. Well, guess what? Regardless if we comprehend it or not, what Scripture says that we didn't, we still have the light. We still have the knowledge, because we still have the Word. If we want to go ahead and ignore that, that's like just going, folks, that's like going from here to somewhere else outside of GPS and saying, I don't need directions, I'm just going to go on my own and walk blindly. That's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, that's why we follow the Christ, who is the light of men. Okay? And Jesus told us to stay in the light. But listen to this. We've all heard John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's put it into context. What does he say right after that? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We're asking the question, why was Christ hated? Going to verse 18. He that believeth on Christ, him, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What does he say right after that? Listen carefully. Why was Christ hated? Okay? This is the condemnation, that light, Jesus, has come into the world, and men loved darkness and their sins rather than Jesus, who is the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are what? Wrought in God. Let me say that one more time. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light. He that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Who are those that were responsible for crucifying Christ? The Pharisees, the religious hypocrites of the day. Why was Jesus hated? Because Jesus was the light, and they were self-righteous. The Bible says that they were. The Bible says that they themselves said that they could see, but Jesus said, "When you say you can see, you're truly blind." And I'm talking about John 10. But those that are blind can truly see, because the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight, right? It's an issue of the heart, friends, and it's the eyes of the heart. But what I want you to catch here, friends, more than anything, is notice who did the crucifying. It's the same thing happening today. Those that were Pharisees, religious hypocrites, that were saying, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but King Jesus. They loved their favorite politicians more than the Christ. Okay? And I'm going to make a couple more points in just a moment. I'm going to give you this parable, but I want you to understand a couple things, friends. I know that people say that when Jesus was on the cross, when he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do, you need to take a step back before saying that that applied to everybody. Because when you read commentation, Adam Clark, Albert Bynes, Matthew Henry, and the list goes on, of all these commentators, it's interesting to note that they all would say the same thing. Jesus was talking to those that didn't know the difference of right and wrong concerning what was taking place with Christ. But those that had Christ crucified, to suggest that they did not know what they were doing is ludicrous. And folks, it's insincere and disingenuous at the most, friends, when it comes to common sense to the matter. Because the Pharisees all the well knew what they were doing. Jesus wasn't talking to those people, because if you look at Matthew 23, it was clear that when Jesus was woeing them, they were rejecting him. And what was he doing? He was damning them. Friends, in scriptural context, let's keep it there. Oh, Bradley, I don't believe in all that. You know, what do you mean they're in hell? Well, let me say it this way. People who go to hell deserve to be there. People who go to heaven do not deserve to be there. The first is justice, and the second is grace. Make distinction. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. A judge is deciding if the affidavit used to justify the raid on former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort will be unsealed. The judge is continuing to hear from both sides on the issue, and the White House maintains they didn't know anything about the raid beforehand and say it wasn't politically motivated. Consumer prices rose over 8% in July compared to a year ago, according to the Consumer Price Index. Although this is lower than the reading of 9.1% in June, Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky Mitch McConnell says he thinks Democrats have done short-term damage to the country.
You know that old saying, if you're in a hole, stop digging? You saw it 10 days ago, they decided to do some more of it. So they passed a $750 billion package.
You're listening to USA Radio News. A drought is continuing to devastate the United States' cotton harvest.
Southwestern cotton growers are abandoning millions of parched acres that they planted in spring, prompting forecasts for the weakest U.S. harvest in more than a decade and sending prices sharply higher. A severe drought and some of the hottest weather on record have scorched cotton fields and are driving a historically high level of abandonment in the Southwest, according to the USDA. U.S. agriculture forecasters expect drought-struck farmers to walk away from more than 40% of the 12.5 million acres they sowed with cotton and harvest the smallest area since Reconstruction. Back then in 1868, yields per acre were less than a fifth of what they are today, but the market for cotton was vastly smaller, too.
For the USA Radio News Gulf Coast Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
President Biden is continuing his vacation in Delaware and has nothing on his public schedule. The House and Senate are also out this week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I hear about it all the time, you know, because I'm highlighting right now from Scripture that the Pharisees all the well knew exactly what they were doing. And what you hear today is Jesus forgave them all. No, he didn't at all. And don't you dare assume that the Lord threw anybody in hell because he decided to do so. That was their call. Except him who was predestined as the son of destruction. And I'm talking about Judas. And it's up to the Lord. The Lord's going to show mercy on whom he's going to show mercy and compassion on who he's going to show compassion. He hated Esau, but he loved Jacob. I mean, that's his call, not ours. But I do want to bring to your attention that for you to suggest, or for anybody in the body of Christ to suggest, that when Jesus was on the cross, being delivered up by the hands of sinners, transgressors, what's the end of sin? Death. Romans 6:23. What did Jesus say about those that continue on in their sin? They're going to end up in hell. And nobody warned of hell more than Jesus did 54 times. That's the consequence of unrepentance towards God. Okay? They're to fear God, friends. Luke 12:4. They're not to fear hell. Hell is the consequence of unrepented sin. But let's go back to Golgotha. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, forgive them for they know not what they do, it wasn't just, friends, it wasn't just the Roman soldiers and the Pharisees that were up there. No, there was tons of other people up on top of that hill watching the crucifixion. When Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do, ask who it's pertaining to. Ask the question, to whom are you speaking, Jesus? Because he already damned the Pharisees in Matthew 23. And by the way, they damned themselves. Wait a second, I thought God was a God of love. He is. See? He is a God of love. But see, sinners rejected his love. We're talking about why did they hate Jesus? But I want to make clear as we speak through these topics that people understand in scriptural context what the truth of the matter is, not what you're hearing from the pulpits for the most part in America today. Those that crucified him all the well knew what they were doing, and they deserved the end of God's wrath, which is them being cast into hell. Okay. Now, for those that have been saved by grace, Ephesians 2:8, that's a different story. Let me put it this way. People who go to hell deserve to be there. The Pharisees did. And those that go on their sin, go in on in their sin, you're going to die in your sin. You deserve to go to hell. People who go to hell deserve to be there. And it wasn't the Lord rejecting them. It was them rejecting the Lord. By the way, the word offense, Webster's 1828, means anything in contrast or that which assails God's moral law. So like, for example, when I hear immoral people say that they're offended at me, good, be offended. The Lord's going to use law to the proud, grace to the humble, and the Holy Ghost is going to come in and meet them where they're at. But I got to teach them the fear of the Lord. The law is a schoolmaster in my hand, and showing them that their sin is before God. That's the reason that they repent, and that's what drives them to the foot of the cross where it can do no more. But let me say this one more time, and let's move on. People who go to hell deserve to be there. They deserve to be there. People who go to heaven do not deserve to be there. Let's understand this. People who go to heaven do not deserve to be there. This was God's good graces that were going to heaven in the first place. The first concerning the people who go to hell that deserve to be there, that's justice. That's justice. The second is grace. We don't deserve the grace of God. But while we were sinners, Christ died for us regardless. Here in his love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his own son to be a propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins to redeem us back unto the Lord. Okay? Let's go to the next point. When I go over to, in speaking of why was Jesus hated, when you go to Mark 12, he gives us a parable. What's the parable? And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. He's given us a parable. And at the end of the season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And what did they do? The Pharisees, giving the analogy of the Christ and those that the Lord has sent, apostles and prophets, what did the Bible tell us? They caught him, they beat him, and they sent him away empty. Jesus is telling you who it is that refuses to give up their kingdom for God's kingdom. And again, he sent unto them another servant, and at that time they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. These are the ones that hate the light. These are the ones that hate the Christ. Christ wasn't hating on them. God wasn't hating on them. He's the one that sent them a Savior. But from their sin, Matthew 1:21, not in their sin. And again, another he sent, and they killed him and many others, beating some and killing some. Is that what the Pharisees did to those that were sent to them by God? That's exactly what he was telling them. This is what you people have done. Every time I sent a prophet, an apostle, you beat them, you stoned them, and in many cases, you even killed them. Why was Christ hated? And I want to tell you something. The spirit of the world has not changed, friends. The world, in the spirit of the world, in the church, they love to praise the dead saints, but they love to persecute the living ones. There is nothing that has changed in the spirit of the world, friends. It's the same. Then the Bible tells us in Mark 12, verse 6, speaking of himself now, having yet therefore the Son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my Son. This is Jesus giving the parable. But those husbandmen, those Pharisees, those scribes, those Herodians that were warned to stay away from Mark 8:15, said among themselves, this is the heir, speaking of himself, Christ. Come, what did the Pharisees say? Let us kill him and the inheritance shall be ours. Whoa, That's crazy. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. And Jesus asked the question in verse 9, what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. I'm telling you folks, it's the same thing that's happening in America today. Either we submit to the meek King of glory or else we're going to be judged. And judgment is raining down majorly in the United States of America. Again, we're doing it to ourselves. Numbers 32:23. Jesus asked the question, what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? What shall God do to people such as yourself? He will come and destroy the husbandman. The Lord saying, the Lord will come and destroy you and will give the vineyards unto others. And speaking of the Gentiles. And the Bible says in verse 10, and have you not read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. That's Jesus. And this was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. And the Bible says, and then the Pharisees sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. And they went their way. We're talking about why Jesus was hated. Because he told them the truth. He told them the truth. Pilate knew why the Pharisees delivered him up. Matthew 27:18 tells us, for Pilate, he knew that for envy they had delivered up Christ. Are you telling me these Pharisees, friends, going back to the cross and forgive them for they know not what they do? Are you suggesting to me somehow God just overlooked that and they're in heaven today? Folks, I speak as a man, but I speak in truth from my heart. If that was the case, then I wouldn't want to go there. Do you have any sense of right and wrong within your hearts? You that love the Lord hate evil and love that which is good. Psalm 97. And we're to make distinction, Ezekiel 44:23. Pilate, before delivering him up, by the way, if you know the history and the back story on this, it's interesting that Pilate knew that they delivered him up for envy, but what Pilate wanted to do, even after his wife had a vision, a dream about Christ, she told Pilate, she said, have nothing to do with that just and holy man. But Pilate did it anyways, and what he tried to do is to justify himself before everybody. He took a basin of water and washed his hands as if to suggest he had nothing to do with the crucifixion of Christ. Oh my goodness. Hey folks, have you ever taken the time to see the end of Let His Blood Be Upon Us? 40 years later, after the Passion of the Christ, 1,100 of those people were crucified under the walls of Jerusalem. They were encamped and they were judged, friends. And they were judged. What happened to Pilate? Anybody know what happened to Pilate? Well, he was sent into exile and at length committed suicide. Did you all know that? Nope. You didn't. God is not mocked, folks. The Bible is no mere book. It's a living creature. It's a power that conquers all that oppose it. And amen, amen, and amen to that. Amen. And that applies to me first and foremost. Hey, friends, let me say this. A little rabbit trail for you. Those that are ready for the judgment of God are those that long to be free from their sin. Not looking for a false grace for an excuse to remain in sin. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's a different topic. Jesus said to his brothers who didn't believe in John 7:7, speaking of why did they hate Jesus, the world cannot hate you, but me it hates because I testify that the works are evil. This is what Jesus told his brothers. Well, what did Jesus tell his disciples? John 15:17, and I'm going to end this portion and then jump to the next. Jesus said in John 15:17, these things I command you, Jesus said, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Oh my goodness. Is there conjecture, friends, concerning what you're hearing from the pulpits in America today to what I just read to you? They're trying to be friendly with the spirit of the world. They're loving on a wicked man. They're praying forgiveness for the unrepentant. I mean, folks, this is incredibly biblically ignorant at every given step of the way. We need imprecatory prayers. We need to go back to the prayers of David and pray the way that David prayed concerning the wicked. Then we're going to start to learn God's will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. We're not called to be dispossessed. We'll be right back.
We are in the process of doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hey, this is Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson of the Jesse Lee Peterson Radio Show out of Los Angeles, California. Bradley Dean's radio show, he is one of the bravest white men on this side of heaven, promoting freedom, love of God, and love of country. You will not be disappointed. Check out Sons of Liberty.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Again, to the Sons of Liberty. Hey, you know what, folks? I do this all the time because it's like even when I'm given 45 minutes at a church, it just doesn't fly. I can go on. I remember one time I was in Memphis, as a matter of fact. I preached for 5 hours. 5 hours. And I did not really realize that I was preaching for 5 hours. And but I was, and more people are coming, and that was fantastic. And it's the same thing that happens here, folks. I mean, I just got to ask the question. I wonder if we're running up against the times where we're going to take on a 2 to 3 hour show. I don't know, because I about the time I get going, it's the end of the show, and then it bleeds into the next one. And it's important that I do, because I want to stay and I want to be led, which by the way means driven. Romans 8:14. By the Holy Ghost. Okay, I don't want to be led by notes. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost. And I want to give you everything I've got, because I've only got you for a short amount of time, understanding scripturally that we're to redeem the time as well as life is but a vapor. So let's make the most of it. Let's get back to this really quick. If it rolls over to tomorrow where we got to talk about our Christians supposed to fight, I'll show you exactly your history and the time allotted as well tomorrow, and probably roll over even into Saturday's show show as well. But let's get over to this. And again, we're talking about why was Jesus hated. I want you to catch this really quick. It says, these things that I command you, that you love one another. Here, I want to stop right real quick, because I see this when I'm preaching too. I notice that when I'm preaching over and over and over, thousands of times, all of a sudden when the power of the Holy Ghost comes in the room to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, there will be those that will stand up and walk out. Well, some will say, well, that's too bad, Bradley. No, it's too bad for them. Because if you look at John 6, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, which is soul food, metaphorically, that's all he was giving us, was a metaphor of soul food. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part with me. And what does the Bible tell us? That many said this was a hard saying, and they walked with him no more. Folks, we're talking about eternity here. And I noticed that when that happens on the radio too, I'll watch social media platforms, and I'll watch the gauge where it will fluctuate. About the time it matters the most to hear the hard sayings of Christ and those things that you want to refuse. But hey, folks, sincerity says, you know what? I don't like hearing that, but I'm going to hold to it because I know it's truth that makes men free. John 8:32. And I also know that that truth demands a response, and it does. And we either respond one of two ways. We either reject it or we accept it. Don't undo yourself, friends. Okay? Keep in mind, the Holy Ghost comes in to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This, again, applies to all of us. We are being perfected by His grace, okay? And the way that that happens, 2 Peter 3:18, is when we hold to His Word. Now, I want you to catch this because this is important. Why was Jesus hated by the world? And folks, He was also hated by His brothers. In John 7:7, He said, the world cannot hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil, is another translation. Let's go to John 15. Oh, in my goodness. That's why I always say about this ministry, either you love us or you hate us. If you love the truth, you're going to love the ministry. If you hate the truth, you're going to hate the ministry. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not offended, but God is. God is offended, and the Bible says that the Lord is angry at the wicked every day. The wicked are those that reject the truth. They reject their obligations and commandments given unto them by God. Okay? So just understand where you're at. I don't care what the hireling in the pulpit says, John 10:12, about, you know, you're going to heaven anyways. It's not his job to tell you that. That's why I continuously give you the number to have those people call in, those that combat the truth of what's being shared here. 1-866-582-9933. Have your favorite pastor, your favorite preacher that wants to combat the truth of Scripture to give us a call and set the record straight. 1-866-582-9933. Been on the radio for 17 years. Haven't had it happen more than probably two or three times. It's amazing how everybody's so opinionated. But again, we're not here giving you opinion. We're giving you the Word. The sword of the Spirit. Because we don't care about your little wooden, ineffective, blunt wooden swords that are ineffective. No, we care about the Holy Ghost coming out on the scene and giving us what it is that we're called to go out there and get. Right? The heathen is thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth is ours. Psalm 2. Jesus was hated by the world because he told the world the truth. Namely, those hierarchies, the establishments in the church and in the government, who worked hand in glove as their tails were tied by the devil to work against him. It wasn't the devil's victory, friends, at the end of the day. It was God's, because if you remember right, when Christ was crucified on the cross, he said, "It is finished." It is finished. And when it was finished, he wasn't just talking about, I've done everything that I've done here, but the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the world, is now judged. See, Satan didn't know that had he known, he would have not spoiled principalities and powers. He would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because that was the power of unto God, unto salvation, that destroyed his kingdom. Did you get that? That was the defeat of the enemy, not the defeat of Christ. That was the victory for Christ, friends. That was the victory for Christ. And the enemy thought, well, if I can get rid of him, I'll get rid of all of this. Nope, it was just the beginning of this. 5,000 and 6,000 years later. I'm talking about Genesis and then going to the New Testament 2,000 and 3,000 years later. It's just the beginning. And what's awesome about all of that is the church is not... Listen to me, you minions of hell. The church of Jesus Christ is going nowhere. You are the hammer. The church is the anvil. It's the hammer that needs to be changed, not the anvil. The church... Listen to me, all of you tyrants... The church of Jesus Christ is going nowhere. Haven't you learned from your ancestors and your forefathers that are now in hell the lesson yet? You're still fighting the same fight that they fought during their time. And 5,000, 6,000 years later, you're doing the same thing because you're too foolish to open your eyes and understand that you are not in control. Satan is not in control. God, my Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is in control. And He gave us all power over the enemy if we are believers in Christ. Luke 10:19. Boy, I wish people would listen to what the Word has to say. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Got 3 minutes, let's finish this. Jesus said, these things that I command you, that you love one another. John 15:17, going to verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. What did the Lord say after that in verse 19? If you were of the world would love its own. Hey, folks, I seen a post today. It said that, yes, straight and narrow and difficult is the way. Yes, the closer that you walk with the Lord is going to be lonelier and lonelier and lonelier. Yes, why? King David told us. He said, I'm a companion of all them that fear the Lord and of them that keep thy precepts. Folks, it's a lonely walk because you can't find a whole lot of those guys out there anymore. Be the Peter, be the James, or be the John. Be the ones that are consecrated unto Him. Be the ones that are closest to Him in all things, at all times, in all places, friends. Because He promised that not a hair of your head would perish. He promised that He would hold you and care for you all the days of your life. He promised that no man was able to pluck you out of His Father's hands. That's what He promised. He promised that He would never leave you nor forsake you. In spite of us, He promised, and He's not a man that He should lie. Let's go to verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, Jesus said, He said to His disciples, listen to me, Christians, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Again, listen to what He said in 19. If you were of the world would love his own. If you're loved by the world, folks, and you got the approbation of men, you better put a check on yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, what did Jesus say to His disciples? Therefore the world hateth you. Hey, folks, does the world hate you? And if not, why? Is it because you don't hold to the Word of God? That's exactly why. He promised that this would happen. This is why... In consummation of everything I've said all day long concerning the topic, why did they hate Jesus? If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak, no covering for their sin. Why? Because Jesus exposed them for who they were. And the reason He did that was out of love to bring them to godly repentance. But they refused God's mercy. Therefore, they had to endure now His judgment for eternity. Period. Jesus said, He that hateth me hateth my Father also, friends. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Friends, as it says, it is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. Are you in Christ? Did the world and does the world hate you?
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.